Welcome to Improv the Podcast. On this week's episode, we're joined by an old friend, a long-lost improviser, Gavin Constanzer. Let's hit it! Welcome to Improv for the Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Lee Evans, and on today's episode, we're joined by former IFTP student, now something else, Gavin Constanzer. Wow.
Delightful to be here. Thank you so much, Michael.
Gavin, thank you for waiting 60 episodes to come back to the podcast.
Yeah, I've been on the edge of my seat just waiting for my ticket to get pulled. It finally did. I was ready. Here I am.
Yeah, well, you were banned for a while.
Yeah, The scandal got the best of me, but my lawyers actually prefer I don't talk about it. So
yep, sorry.
We'll just leave that.
Shouldn't have even brought that up.
It's okay.
Apologize.
We can cut that.
We're not going to.
Terrific.
I'm a very lazy editor, so that's just staying in. Sorry, lawyers. Yeah. But Gavin, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic, Michael. Yeah, it was just a pretty standard day for me. I've been doing a lot of improv lately, and finally it feels like summer is here. It's the double-edged sword because the hills are turning brown a little bit.
It's a little sad.
It's so warm. We're going to have a nice warm weekend. Life is good.
You're selling it. You're selling it. Nice warm weekend. Yeah. Oh, man. It's not lovely. Yeah, I know. It's like t-shirt time. We're not quite at short season yet, so that's good. No. But so this is like peak spring into summer fashion is happening right now.
And truthfully, I'm not the biggest fan of shorts.
Yeah.
So I think this is prime season.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's still pant comfortable, but warm enough for a t-shirt.
Yeah. Yeah. And can I ask, what is it about shorts that doesn't do it for you?
I don't know. It's just, I feel like I'm too available. If someone's like, hey, can you help me? I feel obligated because I have the swiftest moving legs at that given moment.
Yeah.
There's something, I feel obligated to do things. Shorts.
Shorts are our business. Time to move.
Yeah, exactly.
I did not expect that answer, but you know what? I respect it.
It's true. Like, you walk into a room and let's say you're moving a desk.
Oh, yeah.
And you see two people sitting there. You can ask the guy wearing jeans or the guy wearing shorts.
Oh, absolutely. The shorts.
Shorts guy.
It's right? Like, oh, look, those legs are swift.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay.
You need to move this desk in a hurry.
I see it. I'm never wearing shorts again. No one will ask me to help them move if I'm wearing shorts. If I'm wearing sweatpants, pajamas.
We can get those the zip-off ones.
Oh, yeah. So I can wear shorts when I need and go back to pants in a pinch.
Exactly.
You know, I used to have those when I was in elementary school.
Oh, I still got a pair.
Still?
Yeah. Well, I use them for camping.
Why not all the time, Gavin?
I'm rethinking it now. I should. Yeah.
Imagine halfway through this podcast, you're like, woo, a little toasty in here. Zip.
Pop the bottoms.
Real treat for the YouTube viewers. Real treat. You're like, let's see those knees.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't like shorts because the legs get real white, in the off season.
Sure.
It's just, they're okay. They've been better. They've been worse.
You know, they look nice.
It's just, they're a little hairy.
You got a nice pair of legs.
I got more hair on my legs than my head, Gavin. What can I do?
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's right. It's keeping them warm.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I just redistribute it. That's all.
Exactly.
Redistribute
it. You're saving it for later.
Yeah. Saving it for later. All right. Gavin, so before we get too far into this, just maybe for listeners who don't know, not everyone has listened to all 70 plus episodes of Improv for the Podcast.
They should.
Could you give me like a quick, two-sentence summary of your relationship to this place.
Totally. I'm Gavin. I have been with IFTP for about coming up on just over two years now.
Phew.
Yeah, I started out as a student in Jamie's class and then bounced around trying out different teachers, getting to know the whole community, and then just falling in love with the craft. And then about 4 or 5 months ago, Matt approached me asking if I'd like to start teaching.
What?
Yeah. And so I've been teaching off and on for when, some of the other teachers want or have an obligation, I'll sub in for them. I did get to have my own class for a little while. And, we're still working out what night of the week is going to be best, get some enrollment up in there. So now I've transitioned into the role of a faculty member.
Yeah.
However, I still am a student. I still take classes every month.
Double trouble.
I can't get enough of it. There's something distinctively different about being a student compared to being a teacher, and I can't get enough of either.
What an excellent teaser. Well, welcome to the faculty, Gavin Constanza. We're going to explore what that difference is, the student-teacher life, this fine line. You're a man of two worlds. That's unique perspective, so we're going to get into that in a little bit.
Sure.
But before we do, Gavin, we got to play some three things.
Of course. I thought she'd never ask.
Three things. Well, I asked you 60 episodes ago, and I'm asking you again tonight.
Excellent.
So we cooked up some fresh categories for you. We'll see how these go. All right. These are three things. First category, meats.
Steak.
One.
Chicken.
Two.
And pork.
Three. Oh, nice choices. Second category, late night snacks / meals.
Cereal.
One.
Fruit.
Two.
In candy.
Three. Very nice. Last category, surf spots.
Oh, Leo Carrillo.
One.
Doheny.
Two.
And Newport.
Three. These are three things. All right, circling back, meats. You basically listed them in like the best order, so.
I think so.
I have no complaints.
Yeah. I recently discovered a butcher shop. I don't feel like I know it well enough.
You got a meat guy? You got a meat man?
I have a meat guy, and honestly, it's like, it felt kind of like a graduation into manhood.
That's like, yeah.
Yeah, I thought I'd hit all these boxes and checked all these levels of like what it meant to be a man, but
yeah.
Going into a butcher shop and having a conversation with a professional about meats, there's so much more. There's so much more that I didn't know about. Cool. Saying pork in that list, I haven't had a pork chop, and I can't even remember when. Now I'm craving pork.
What about like carnitas?
Carnitas, I've had very recently.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll take that. We'll take it.
But like a good pork chop? It's been a minute.
Getting hungry over here. All right. How do you like your steak?
I go with medium rare when I cook it myself, or if I'm in a steakhouse, because I trust it.
Yeah.
But let's say I'm like order, like, because I do a lot of, for work, I have to do a lot of catering. I don't do the catering myself. I order a lot of catering. Yeah.
You're like, all right, what are we going to get for everybody?
And you always have to go medium.
Yeah.
Better just to be safe.
In like a mass prep scenario. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good call.
Yeah. But I go medium rare usually for steaks and heavily seasoned or marinated.
Ooh, the garlic herb butter.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I'm a big flavor guy. Some people are like, no, I want to taste the meat. I'm like, yeah, I want to taste the meat with butter and garlic.
Yeah. Excuse me. Have you tried butter and garlic? It's great on bread and it's great on meat.
It's great on everything.
Oh my gosh. It's so good. Yeah. Veggies, like everything benefits from butter and garlic. One more steak question for you. Do you think medium rare plus, is that real?
This is the first I'm hearing of it.
Okay.
So I'd say no, but I'm in a couple of Reddit communities that are centered around steaks and meats.
Yeah, that's a good way to like learn
techniques, recipes. I wouldn't put it past them to have differences. So I'll give it to them, to the meat lovers out there.
Yeah, if you're at Outback, probably don't order the medium rare plus.
No.
Doesn't exist. But maybe you go somewhere real snazzy, like a Houston's or, you know, one of those kinds of places.
And no matter where you go, get the Bloomin' Onion.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
So good.
With garlic and herb butter.
Of course.
That does not need that. Well, yes, it does. All right. That second category I asked you, I don't know why I went food for the first two categories. Didn't even realize that until right now. Those are some great late night snacks. You said cereal. What kind of cereal, Gavin? Be specific.
Yeah, I know.
This is improv.
This is improv. I should have been specific because I did have a specific cereal in mind, but I can't remember the name of it.
Nice.
I just discovered it. It's a healthy cereal.
Magic Spoon?
It's not Magic Spoon.
Okay, so expensive.
Exactly. Magic Spoon is magic. It's expensive.
Yes.
It's expensive spoon.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was right next to it.
Catalina Crunch?
No, it's that's the thing. That's like, that's what went through my brain, so I just said cereal. But that being said,
I did notice
after my three categories, I think I said all sweet things.
You said cereal?
Fruit.
Fruit?
And candy.
Candy. I mean, fruit is a standout, though, because it's like, it's real food.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, cereal is, I don't know what cereal is. It depends on the cereal.
True.
But if you're going healthy cereal, is it like a keto kind of like?
I mean, I say, quote, healthy cereal.
Yeah.
I don't think cereal's meant to,
Yeah,
it's a healthier option than ice cream or Frosted Flakes.
Yeah, I mean, you're not saying it's not Cookie Crisp, right?
No.
Okay, then you're doing something right.
Yeah, Cookie Crisp is just cookies.
Yeah,
it's like they took all the like Famous Amos rebranded. Just made them small. Cookie Crisp.
That's a good point.
The same, yeah.
Yeah.
But that does raise the question of, I'm not sure if you do this, Michael, but I do it for sure. When I eat foods, I try to balance sweet, salty.
Mm.
And generally, I like to end on a sweet before I go to bed. So I think that's why all my late night snack foods.
Yeah. It's a good way to polish off the day.
Exactly.
I'd say movie theater. I like that strategy because it's like popcorn.
Yes.
That's a little, you know, that's your savory, but then like candy situation. I actually just go sour Skittles. So it's not even sweet. It's just like, how do I burn my tongue? But I love that. I love to bleed a little bit.
Sure. Everybody likes that.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Everybody likes a little bit of pain.
Yeah. A little bit of pain. All right. Give me a candy. At least. Give me a fruit. Give me a candy.
Yeah.
Fruit. Let's get that specificity up.
Definitely. Passion fruit. Passion. My favorite fruit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's all, like, I love that it looks like alien eggs. And,
yeah.
Like it's all goopy inside. It's just fun.
Presentation. I mean, that's
fun for everybody.
Hard to beat.
Yeah. And then candy Twix.
Oh, that's good. Left or right Twix?
You know, I'm partial to left.
Okay.
Personally. I like right, you know, but right, it's not the league for me. It's not the league for me. Mm.
Gavin Constanzer, noted leftist. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah. Oh no. There's our clickbait.
That's McCarthyism. He's going down. all right. Last category. Why'd I ask you about surf spots?
Because I surf.
Damn. Or at least tread the gnar?
I tread some gnar.
Some gnar.
On occasion.
Some gnar has been shred.
Some gnar has been shredded on my account.
Yeah.
I'll take full responsibility for some minor gnar shredded.
Whoa. Sawed.
but honestly, going surfing here in Los Angeles is kind of a chore.
Yeah.
Where?
Like you go up to Ventura maybe?
So I like going up to Malibu area. Okay. There's a lot of spots in Malibu, but once again, it's far and it's crowded. You got to get out there at like 6 break, like the break of dawn at the
fun earliest. Weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, I mean, it has its own pleasures to it. Like it's nice to watch the sunrise and everything.
That's true.
But also a
beautiful sunrise.
Yeah, exactly. But I do go on surf trips. I'm trying to go on at least one per year. So
nice. Nice.
All of my surf spots that I mentioned were local though.
Okay.
More or less.
Yeah. I knew that for sure.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever shredded some gnar?
I've attempted to once in the ocean. Let's put that.
What about that?
About mountain? 18 years ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What about that mountain gnar though?
Twice.
Okay.
I'm more of like a concrete gnar guy.
Oh, a little skate.
A little more experience doing that gnar.
Okay.
Which is sad being a San Diego kid and not surfing in the ocean.
Skating is the surfing of the land.
Yeah, it's just more, I don't know. It's just, you just walk outside and you can do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, skating's super cool.
Yeah, I guess I'm retired though, I don't know. It's been a long time.
If you were to hop on a skateboard now, would you want to be on like a longboard and go down a big hill? Or would you want to hit the park or just scoot?
I'm like, I probably just want to scoot around first.
Sure.
You know, I'm not ready to like drop in yet. Yeah. That's like I used to, but now it's like, you know, you really got to just lean into that thing.
Yeah.
And otherwise you're toast. So
true.
Otherwise you wipe out, dude.
Dude, if you drop in too easy, life's not like that, man.
That's right.
You got to drop into life.
Drop in like a tab of acid, brother.
Oh, dude, drop it in like a vote in a ballot box, you know?
Oh, democracy, dude.
Democracy.
Democracy.
There it is. Left Twix.
There it is. Oh, I'm an independent. Like the truck company for skateboards.
Oh, righteous.
Independent trucking.
Oh, because skateboards have trucks, too.
Absolutely.
Oh, righteous.
Absolutely. there's more where that came from. All right. So, Gavin. Thank you for answering those questions and also teaching me the names of local surf spots. I could list them all right now, but I'm not going to.
I believe you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Dalmatian. That's there. All I got. San Pedro.
Yeah.
Wave Crash. Mongo.
Oh, I know it well.
Yep. Yep. Wait, do you like... Okay, hang on. I got to go back to surfing real quick. Do you like surfing movies?
Love surfing movies.
Okay. Blue Crush.
Okay.
You seen that one?
Of course.
Okay, nice. What about, what's the one? Shoot. Oh, Soul Surfer.
I haven't seen it in a very long time. But I have seen it. So when I was a kid, I went to surf camp
in
Orange County. And, like, overnight camping, you watch movies, it's like a camp and everything.
Yeah.
And there's this old movie called The North Shore.
Oh, I've heard of this.
It's classic.
Yeah.
Half of my characters are based off of that movie.
Nice.
Yeah.
Sick, dude.
So sick.
Sick, dude. It's a North Shore. It's got the greatest waves. Not even choppy.
Like, greatest of directions, north. Greatest of geographical features, shores.
Sure.
Oh. Put those together. Butter.
The shores give me the heartbeat thumping.
Oh, my dude.
Like an EDM track, dad.
Oh, totally. Just drumming. Bass.
Like 155 BPM.
Oh, dude, that's so fast. There it is, dude. That's in the orange zone.
Or it is a red alert.
Code red.
Oh, my favorite drink. If you're still listening, thank you. If you're not, I understand.
We get it.
Understand, dude.
Go grab yourself a code red and come back.
And chill out. Sugar fray. All right. So, Gavin, you mentioned it earlier, and I'm gonna ease you into this. So, do you remember on the podcast? Usually, kind of towards the end of the interview portion, I ask everyone kind of like in the next year, what's like an aspiration or something you're working towards that you have as an improviser, as a performer, as a creative. Do you by chance remember what you answered to that question?
I believe I do. Right. I said I wanted to teach.
My God, this man is good. You are correct. So I listened back to that episode, and you, two things. You were like, maybe I want to try commercials one day.
Sure.
And that you wanted to teach at IFTP.
Yeah.
Gavin, you're a teacher at IFTP.
I am. I am a teacher.
You did it.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Like, just listening back to that, I was like, oh my gosh, he did it, the madman. That's really cool.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Saying it out loud on the podcast last time, it was something I had known before that, but then to say it in a public setting like this, I don't know, I think there's power in that, in declaring things like to the world, and putting things out loud. Because so much of our life is lived in our heads, and when you put things out into the world and make yourself vulnerable like that, it forces you to hold yourself accountable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And now that I'm getting to experience what it's like being a teacher, you know, then there's the next goal and the next goal. It's been interesting to feel like I'm growing in a lot of different directions simultaneously.
Yeah. It's fantastic. So I know you mentioned it before. There was like, you said maybe about 5 months ago, Matt approached you. What do you think between that conversation with Matt and I guess, you know, 60 episodes ago on the podcast, what do you think changed in you to get you to that point where Matt saw you as like, I think this guy's ready?
That's a good question. Because I think there's two different ways to come at it. I think there's the little more probably practical, readily available, that's already at the forefront of our minds, is the question you ask. Or just like, okay, so what did I do to get to the next point, which is teaching?
Yeah.
And really, I just kept doing improv.
Yeah.
And I kind of trusted that if that's the direction I'm headed in, like that's what I'm aiming at. It's very far away, but I'm aiming in that direction, and I'm going to trust that the things that I do are going to take me in that direction. The other way of looking at it is like, I was always meant to be a teacher, and deep down I kind of knew that underneath, but I hadn't fully realized it yet and gained the confidence yet. You know, it just depends on kind of how you look at time, I suppose. But something just had kind of called within me, whether it's my history as a school teacher, because I used to teach science.
Yeah,
and,
teachers.
I learned immediately as a school teacher that you learn so much from being a teacher in a very different sort of way. And the same thing, exact thing is true of improv. So yeah, I'm really shocked and relieved at the same time as to how it's all coming together.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty crazy. Just like, whoa, that was a little over a year ago.
Yeah.
And then now you're like, boom.
Exactly. I've only been in this room to get props for a show since then. It's been so long.
Oh yeah. Sounds about right. Yeah, got some props in here. You see there's a rack with Matt's costumes?
Yeah.
That he just personally owns.
I know, right?
I think that's what that is. Very nice, very nice. Okay. So, Matt asks you, he goes, hey, Gavin, I'm going to speak to you after class. But he meant it for real?
So, yeah, it's he had texted me saying, like, hey, can you come to class early? I want to talk to you about something. Don't worry, you're not in trouble. I'm so glad he said that because that's immediately where my mind goes when somebody wants to talk to me about
class. Does that mean he doesn't want you to attend?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, it's something good, something positive. We met up here in the lofts, and he mentioned his words were like that he's been listening to the feedback that I would give other students because after we end a scene, Matt will ask the class, what were some things you noticed? And ever since I first started, I've always had to say something that I noticed, whether that's that's just because I can't shut myself up or what it may have been. From that, Matt had said, like, I've noticed the way that you have analyzed scenes and like you understand you know what, like, the components of a great scene are. I think you're ready to start teaching. Mm. And so from there, they were like, okay, great. I had to start kind of mentally preparing once he said that, that I was ready for that and really started to put myself in the shoes and assume the responsibility of creating lessons and guiding a class.
Mm. Yeah. And some of that you already knew how to do in one way because you've been a teacher before, but now applying all your improv knowledge to that rather than being like, this is a sell.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
That stuff, which is really cool.
Yeah, and it's still very much, I have a distinct memory of a little kid of learning about trial and error.
Yeah.
And just being like, this is such BS. I hate this. I hate trying and failing and trying.
It does suck that that's the way it is for everything.
Everything is trial and error. Yeah. So that being said, finding something that I'm passionate about with teaching, it's like trial and error doesn't seem so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, with improv, I would put these lessons together and have all these different activities and then have it fall apart in class. And turns out that, like, the activities were too advanced for the students I was doing or too simple for the students.
You gotta gauge, like, the level.
There's so many different aspects to it. And then afterwards, instead of being like, oh, my class didn't work, I didn't teach them better, it was just like, ah, didn't work that time. Thank goodness we get to try again next week. And granted, it's never, I'm always suffering way worse in my head than I am in reality. Usually people enjoy the class anyways.
Yeah, they're not rioting. They're not trying to burn down anything. Like,
yeah.
It's great. They're not trying to fight you.
No, exactly. Yeah. Which is,
I think it's going better than you think.
I think so too.
You know? Yeah, but it's, I think, so long as the teacher is still feeling that, that means they're doing a good job and are only going to continue getting better. You know, if you don't care, you're just like, yep, that was the lesson.
Yeah.
Then it's like, well, come on. But, like, I think people generally understand that teachers, like, are also growing in their craft every time they do it, too.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think that's true of everybody. You know, everyone is growing in their ways. And I don't know, that's, it's funny. We make our classroom such a safe place to try and learn improv and to be funny and to laugh and giggle. And we fail all the time in class and laugh and giggle about it. I think we need to, and show, we all show each other a lot of, like, cut each other a lot of slack and show each other a lot of grace. I think everybody needs to do that outside of the classroom too.
Mm. I wish you'd given me more grace before we started recording, you know.
You know
about that $10,000 I owe you.
It's a lot of money, Michael, and you know, grace only lasts so long.
I said I'm good for it.
I
know it's been a year, but I'm good for it.
Okay? Yeah, I'd rather you be great for it, you know, just a little, or awesome. Let's take it from good to awesome for it.
I'm okay for it.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
We don't want to use the listener's time for that, though.
Yeah. Okay. We might have to cut that.
Okay.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
Okay. Well,
that's some tense stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Welcome back.
So, you make that jump.
Yeah.
What were, because I know you've taught a number of classes. You've done some subbing. You had your own class for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Thinking about maybe your first couple sessions that you led, your first time, they're like, it's me. I'm the teacher, Gavin. What was that like for you?
Exhilarating.
Yeah.
Absolutely so. It reminded me of my first improv class ever, which reminded me of the first class I ever taught ever. It's interesting in general being in a classroom setting as an adult. I'm sure that the other adults listening to this, like, maybe they've been back for a parent-teacher conference or a school night or something like that. But when you're back in the classroom, it does cultivate a certain environment. But specifically to my first couple times teaching, it's the amount of nervous energy that transitions into active energy.
Mm.
Like, kind of, there's you know, I get like a little sweaty or like a little fidgety, and then the class gets going and I'm just running from like wall to wall and like saying all these things left and right. And then before I knew it, it's class is ending and there's three other things that I wanted to do, but I got too distracted halfway through.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, what a beautiful problem to have.
Yeah.
And it was exhilarating is the best word that I could come up with. And then for students, and this is kind of why I still take classes as a student. Yeah. There's a lot to be said about learning in a relaxed environment where you feel safe and comfortable and having things brought to you. You know, it's like having food brought to you or having food cooked for you. It's, you know, there's not a lot of stress going into it. And that cultivates a certain type of learning. As a teacher, the lesson starts much earlier with planning the lesson, putting things together, researching online, new improv games, reading through books. I want to really work on yes and this week, which activities are really going to hone in and complement each other well. All of that process is learning as well as the teacher side of thing. Now, there's a nuance of responsibility to it that I think is really important. When you add that level of responsibility, I think it brings results faster for some people, depending on where you need to grow. And for myself, having been a student for over 2 years now, to complement the other side where it's like, oh, I get to have my relaxed learning where I can just sit there and learn, or my active learning of like, I planned all this and here's how it's manifesting, that trial and error. To have both is helping me, like I said, grow in a lot of different directions at once.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think too, just, the ability to go between both those worlds of like, okay, a teacher right now, all right, this is what it's like to be a student at IFTP. I got to remember this. Like I don't think any of us are doing that right now. So I love that. And it makes me kind of go, maybe I should get back in the classroom for a little bit, you know?
It's so much fun.
Get a taste. Yeah. Because it's been a while. And I'm like, oh, man, I kind of miss it.
Come back.
Yeah.
Come
back. I miss those Wednesday nights.
I miss doing scenes with you.
I know.
Yeah. We only get to do them in shows or at camp. And every time we do them, they're hilarious.
Yeah. So we've got to do more surf scenes, honestly. That's what the people want.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think we're birthing two characters here.
Oh yeah.
It's like but they both sound like Keanu Reeves.
Yeah. From Bill and Ted's. I think we both have a mouth thing we do too when we slip into that.
Oh, totally.
Just like, cuz that's how you
much
get there.
More in the lip.
Yeah.
You know? Like, what? The lip needs a little bit of distance from the tooth.
Yeah, absolutely, dude.
You know, like they belong together but like separately.
Yeah. You're never all the way closed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's you gotta physicalize the accent. You know, that's a real thing. It's a real thing. Okay, jumping back. Okay. So I know this. I don't know if our audience knows this, but I think about you mentioned like just doing more improv leading up to becoming a teacher, but I think also like you expanded your horizons too.
Sure.
I know in that time you took a musical improv class that we had here at IFTP. Mm-hmm. You also started taking some classes or getting involved at another improv studio, West Side Comedy, West Side Theater. Yeah.
Yeah. More or less. I took a class with Chris Alvarado.
Okay. And yeah. Friend of IFTP. Yeah.
He's really a great teacher, great person. I love taking his class. It's one of those things where it's just like, when I see like on Instagram, he's like, oh, we had a great class this year. I was like, dang it. I missed it. One of those things that I just need to be more on top of. Once again, it's learning in a different classroom, in a different container. I joined a team and we perform at West Side Comedy, and that's learning and practice in its own way. I did the musical improv class was so fascinating. I do enjoy singing, but improvised singing is it's a whole other animal and beast.
That's a beast.
But then also I did learn a little bit of just like general musical theater from the class as well. I really wish that I had more of a musical theater background. Yeah. I didn't really get into it in high school. So getting to experience a little bit of it here in my favorite studio was really nice too. But improv is life. It's just that. And you know, I view everything you do every day as practice for improv. You know, if you really listen and pay attention to what people say and the way that they behave and act, we're all bizarre. Mm. You know, we're all like rhinoceroses or ostriches or penguins. Like, we're human beings are weird.
Yeah, so true.
If we're just like kind of paying attention to what everybody does, it's like life is an improv scene in and of itself, so you can learn from really anywhere. You just kind of have to apply the yes and philosophy to everything you see.
I like that. Yeah. But also, we are so weird. Yeah, you mentioned those animals. I'm like, yeah, I think we're probably weirder.
Yeah.
In a way.
I like to think that aliens are watching us, just giggling.
Entertainment only.
I think of that every time we dance to music.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if aliens are watching us, like, what are they? What are they doing?
I don't understand this.
Oh, they're wiggling again. They're wiggling and jumping all weird.
Like, that one's good. That one is not. Or I don't know if they have, like, a scale to gauge that.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they do. There's a whole, like, checklist.
Yeah, they've been watching long enough. Yeah. I think that would be more interesting. Like, if I had the ability to observe another species on another planet without them being aware and, like, get into the minute details, like, I totally would. Totally. Be like, yeah, how do they do this? They do what? Like, yeah. It'd be very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know they did that joke on South Park where it's like the Earth is like a TV show.
Oh yeah, huh?
For other aliens and whatnot.
Yeah,
I think our show's kick ass.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, it hasn't been canceled.
Yeah, not yet.
So how many seasons? Depends on who you ask, but a lot. Yeah, a lot of seasons, of seasons consecutive. We get new casts every year. Yeah.
And hardly any reruns.
But never.
Yeah.
Well. I don't know, the selection.
Depends on who you ask.
Yeah, it's could be a rerun, could not be, I don't know.
Yeah.
leftist. No.
Left Twixist.
Yeah, left Twixist. Okay. Yeah. All right. So thinking about kind of your teaching style, and I know it might be something you're still forming, right? Yeah. Still shaping. What do you think is like something that's signature to a Gavin improv class? Be like, if Gavin's teaching, we're gonna do this exercise. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna bring this particular thing to the room.
Yeah,
yeah. What is that?
And it's hard for me to say because I know every teacher has different components to each of their classes.
Yeah.
But like you're saying, every teacher does have a sort of style to them. I think in my classes, what you're definitely going to get a lot of is a good amount of, I don't want to say like philosophical analysis, but I really like to take what we see in the scenes and then apply it to improv as a whole and then try to apply it to life as a whole. That way, you know, like I was kind of saying there, you can learn about improv from watching people and just watching life and vice versa. You can learn about life by watching improv. Mm-hmm. I really do like taking the time to ask everybody for their opinion after a scene.
Yeah, get that feedback.
Yeah, and then it'll vary. I do like to pick one particular skill. And while every scene you do builds every skill, some are more tuned towards others. I mentioned like a yes and class, so I have a lesson plan that's kind of tailored around all around yes and. Mm. And yes and for newer improvisers, yes and for more seasoned improvisers. I have another class set that's all about characters, and I like talking about that with the class. I don't want people to walk away from the class and being like, oh, it was a fun class. We learned some cool things. I want them to walk away from class saying, I learned how to do a character today.
Specific.
I learned how to apply yes and more often to give people the vocabulary to say, that is what I learned. And I think every teacher does that to some degree, but those are just some of the things that I try and focus on in my lesson planning.
Yeah, I think that's the teacher in you, like the school teacher in you with like the objective and like what's the artifact, right? Like what are you going to walk away with?
Yeah, I got a
like,
vocabulary list.
Students will be able to, yeah. Because I think I do a similar thing with the sketch class. It's like, all right, these are objectives for tonight. So by the end of the class, this is what you're going to have. You don't have it now, but you will later. Like
exactly. And that's
I love to do it that way.
It's fun. Well, yeah. And I learned in my teaching credential on how to begin with the end in mind.
Mm-hmm.
It makes lesson makes lesson planning so much easier
because
it's when you're sitting there and you're like, okay, I have to teach an improv class. What are we going to do? And then you can get lost in thought. There's an infinite number of things
to choose from. Yeah, because it's improv.
So then you have to ask, okay, well, what do I want them to focus on and learn?
Yeah.
And then you start with that. At the end of the class, I'd like them to walk away with a new character.
Yeah.
And so from there, it's like, well, how do I build characters? I learn my characters from these games.
Yeah.
And then doing like a lot of picking everything based up to that endpoint. Mm. And then it just kind of falls into place. Like, oh, now I have a lesson that I could tweak and adjust. Yeah.
It
was very nostalgic for me doing it.
Yeah.
I hadn't done a proper lesson plan in like 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. You got to get a scope and sequence, Gavin. You got to get all this stuff.
If I
print them all standards?
Out. Yeah, if I print them all out, put them in a binder, it's a curriculum now.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Hey, you got to write the first improv curriculum. I don't know if there is one. There probably is.
I don't think there should be.
Yeah, because it's not. It's looser than that. It's exactly. Not like these are the ways to know improv. And if you do this, you will be a master. That's not quite how it works.
Yeah. So true. I'll never forget one of my first scenes in Chris Alvarado's improv class. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a single joke in the whole scene. There wasn't a single laugh. There wasn't a single joke. And I left as soon as the scene ended. I wouldn't say mortified, but I was like, man, that was a bad scene. Like there wasn't a joke to it. And everybody in that class was just like, that was so interesting. It was like a slice of life and all these different pieces to it. And I was like, oh, so improv doesn't have to be funny. It does. It is fun. It doesn't have to be funny. It could be anything. It could be, I've done drama prov classes here.
Yeah.
They're incredibly cathartic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyone listening who's wanting to branch out and do the different forms of improv, take some of our workshops. They're so cool.
Yeah. That's one thing I need to get into here too. It's like, I've just haven't done that. Like musical improv for me, like you talking about that. I'm like, every time it's got to come back.
Yeah.
Lauren Pritchard.
Yes.
Yeah, she's got to come back.
She will.
Got to find her. We're going to just go to her house and be like, hey, what are you doing tonight?
You're teaching class.
Yeah.
We're here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're all here. The kids
it's
are
like
all
reverse
here.
Reverse Christmas caroling situation.
Yeah.
Where we come and you sing to us.
And you have to work. Yeah.
That'd be hilarious. Like, I want to go knock on people's doors and be like, it's reverse caroling. You sing to me.
Yeah. You do my taxes. But I like reverse caroling. Yeah, that would be a great prank show.
Yeah.
Like, oh, hello, we're Christmas caroling. Could you do one of these songs? Just
hand it to him. We hold up the words.
I feel like that would be like a Conan O'Brien thing that he would do. Oh, man, that's good. That's really good. Okay. I got a couple more teacher questions for you.
Yeah, definitely.
And then we're going to do something.
Excellent.
It'll be magic. It'll be magic. Okay. So what do you think, as a teacher, like you've taught some beginning classes, I know you've taught some more experienced students. Do you have a preference in the types of students you teach, or are you like, I like either?
I don't think I've been doing it long enough to have a preference per se yet. Both have their benefits and drawbacks.
Yeah.
When teaching more advanced students, the process can feel like, I'm going to choose to look at the positive side of it. I would say it feels a little more collaborative, where it's like you're asking them when you did that, what was kind of, where were you coming from with that? With newer students, there's a little bit more of like, try to avoid doing this or avoid doing that, or that thing you did was great. I think, and there's variations in what you can do, with newer students, but actually, no, I think that, It just, with time, for example, I built this lesson around yes and. And so I Googled improv games that teach yes and. And of course, the first one that comes up is yes and.
Yeah.
You start sentences out with yes and. And I was like, okay, yeah, we'll do that one. And then I kept reading and it said, now do gesture yes and. And I was like, gesture yes and? What's that?
I don't know.
And so it's the same thing, yes and. The first person starts out by saying a place, just to make it easy on everybody. This bar is dark. And the next person will then start their sentence with yes and, but instead of finishing their sentence with words, they gesture to contribute to the scene.
I like that.
So the bar is dark. Yes. And they mime trying to read the menu really, really close. That contributes information to the scene.
Yeah. If you're paying attention. Yeah.
Yeah. The initial person then has to say yes and continue with the gesture. So the scene just becomes them saying yes and with gestures back and forth.
Ooh, I like that.
And it's a beginner, quote unquote, game.
Yeah.
I got to do this with more advanced students. Yeah. And I did it with them and we all learned from it. So to say like particular activities for particular grades of students, it just comes down to your personal state of mind and setting. If you come to class with a vigor to learn, you will learn something. If you treat every interaction and every person like this person has something they can teach me, you'll learn something. And that being said, I'm not perfect. I've had, moments teaching or moments in class where I just wasn't in the right mind space to learn or to teach, and it comes and goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, That exercise, that's a great exercise.
Good one.
I want to try it sometime because it's like, yeah, it's so rich just with gesture. Like, because one, that like, you know, you don't always have to use your words. Like, word economy is so important in an improv scene where oftentimes we can be so verbose. It's just like, blah, blah, and you're like, gosh, you're just spewing out garbage half the time. I do it all the time.
Yeah.
So like, just that, you know, use your body, physicalize, but like, what are you communicating through that?
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
It forces it because the nature of the game forces everybody to yes and, but then it also forces you to make assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
And also so often somebody will say something and we hear something different or we mishear them and we take their bit of information. Like a classic one, and I'm conscious of this all the time. When I'm playing like an older character in a scene, I'll be like, all right, son, get on over here, just as a term of endearment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then my scene partner hears the word son and thinks, oh, this character is my dad.
Dad? Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, that's not really what I was going for, but now that's what the scene is about.
Yeah.
With gestures, that's so inherent that the person who's trying to deliver the gesture immediately has to let go of their gesture and be like, this is what I gave you. What did you hear?
Yeah.
Oh, I was doing read the menu. You thought I was cleaning my glasses. Now I have to take what you said because we're starting our sentences with yes and.
Which is good too because, yeah, like you said, it drops that assumption that we all have. We're like, no, my thing. We're doing my thing. Which is like, that's a two lessons in one right there. You're getting the yes and you're getting the, hey, like, clean your plate. You don't know what's coming next.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But just eat whatever lands.
And I think there's people who are expert at it. And
yeah.
We're all trying to get there.
Yeah, the rest of us are learning.
Yeah.
Getting better. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. My last question for you, Gavin.
All right.
What do you think makes an effective improv teacher?
Great question. I would say what makes a great improv teacher is dedication. Because that can manifest. Like, at first what was coming up to my mind was preparedness.
Mm.
But I recognize that, like, the nature of improv isn't necessarily preparedness.
Yeah.
But a dedicated teacher knows their own process and is committed to the craft well enough to bring that commitment to every class is really all you can do. Like, let's say somebody who's they are such an improviser that they can't plan a class ahead of time and they show up and they're like, okay, we're going to just kind of freestyle it here. If they know that that's their process, that's them prepared. So long as they know that. Now that same teacher, let's say they forgot about class and then they're rushing to it at the last minute and like, oh yeah, I just plan everything out anyways. And they don't bring their full self to that. They're not prepared. Whereas then there's someone like me where it's like, I write a lesson plan with every little detail of what I'm planning to teach, that's my process. And that's how I stay prepared.
Yeah.
And that's how I know I'm being dedicated to the students who are there. And I think every teacher here at IFTP does that in their own way. I'm excited to get to know the faculty better as colleagues. I've gotten to know you all as like from the student perspective. And then, in some social gatherings and such, but it's been neat to take everyone's class with the lens of like, oh, how do they teach it?
Yeah.
What's Liam's style? What's James? What's Matt's? What's Ava's? Ben's? So, yeah.
What's Gavin's style?
Mm-hmm. We'll find out.
Here we go.
You'll have to take my class. Shameless plug.
Good teaser. Good teaser. All right. Well, Gavin, thank you for talking a little bit about teaching. I'm very happy to have you on the faculty, and I'm glad you're here, and I'm excited, for what's to come.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get to collaborate on some stuff. Maybe I'll take one of your classes. Shoot. That sounds fun.
The world's our oyster. I still have to take your sketch class.
That's true.
It's every time it's coming around,
I know.
It's always something for me.
I'm really great at planning it when people can't take it. That's what I found. Every year, it's like, there I go again.
Everyone's got their secret skill. Yeah. You discovered yours.
Yeah.
You know,
poor timing.
Yeah.
I've done it a different month every time, I think.
Uh-huh.
And I can't remember. No, this is the first time it's early. Usually it's in June.
Yeah.
But we said, what about May? Yeah. Honestly, I could do it in June. I'll talk to Matt. Anyway, there we go.
I'm excited to go to the sketch show.
I'm glad to have you.
If you need people in scenes for the sketch show, you've got
We could need some bodies.
Need some bodies.
Could need some bodies. All right. Well, Gavin. You ready to do some improv?
Let's do it.
All right. All right, folks. We are going to be playing a new game called Royal Rivalry, in which Gavin and I are rivals set in the beautiful era of medieval times. We're going to see what this rivalry is all about. We're going to see what happens with it. And that's all you're going to get. We're just going to explore this, a rivalry in medieval times. All right, this game is called Royal Rivalry. Here we go.
Oh, I do feel that these times are almost half over. That we're about halfway through all this time of evil.
My lord, your reign has been a bit tumultuous.
Oh.
That's why... But
I was about to say, Cleavis, that's mighty snipey of you to say.
Well, my lord Thaddeus, the people yearn for peace, and yet you're constantly waging war.
Well, Cleavis, I think the thing that you fail to understand is that a kingdom not at war is also not at peace. Peace is a facade. Peace is just what is just what the people think it might be, but truly underneath it's like a boiling cauldron of hate waiting to be lashed out upon mine enemies.
So my lord believes that peace is a facet. It doth not exist.
Peace is but a leaf on a river top, waiting to be sucked under by the current, only to be ground into the dirt and then slowly metabolized by decomposition creatures.
My lord, I must confess, I thought that you had invited me to your private chambers tonight to discuss, well, your plan of succession. But...
Ah, Cleavis, I could tell why you would think that, as it was... Well, it's hard to not to notice that my leg is missing.
Yes.
And it does have the stench. The stench, yes, that we know leads to dusty death.
Yes, my lord.
But I must say that until I draw my last breath, you will still be my Cleavis and I will still be your lord.
Yes, of course, my lord. Well, in truth, I was hoping, you know, that maybe you'd see that our philosophies align and maybe you'd consider me, you know, two-legged, healthy, for your successor. But I see that,
Cleavis,
we have an utter disagreement on peace.
I can only leave this kingdom in the hands of somebody whom I know that can destroy our enemies, keep them at bay, rather than break bread with them. We must smite them. Must hold them down. If we are in the midst of our enemies at a carnival and they start bobbing for apples, do you tell them to stop bobbing? No. You hold their heads down until the bubbles stop, and then you walk away.
My lord, drowning others at a carnival is quite cruel.
We're speaking in hypotheticals, Cleavis.
Oh, I see.
This is all hypothetical.
I was wondering how you were going to get your enemies to attend this carnival. I was caught up in the logistics. I apologize, my lord.
And that's why I don't think you're ready to take the throne. Not yet, at least, Cleavis, you see. Maybe someday should you prove thine self. But I was actually calling you here to my chambers today to speak of something that I was hoping I would not have to speak of so soon. But with my leg in the state that it's in, I need to wed my daughter. I must wed her off. And, Cleavis, I know that you are 30 years her senior.
Aye.
So I have come to ask you that, why on earth have you not given your wife a son yet, so we can marry our children?
My lord, I must confess something.
Oh.
You know that, well, every knight has his preferred weapon.
Aye,
and, well...
Crossbow for me.
Crossbow for you. Yes. Some might say coward's weapon. Not I, but others, my lord.
And these others?
Yes. Well, my lord, I may not be, my wife is but a shield, might you say. But a beard, perhaps. For I... The weapons I seek are other swords.
Ah, I think I see.
Which?
The analogy you're getting at is the missus and I have incorporated a many different type of weaponry into our intimate quarters as well. But
yes, and as the king, that is thy right.
It is. It is my right and my duty to do so. But, Clevis, you see, no thing is more important than the legacy I leave behind.
Yes, my lord.
And I would tell you to fix your marital issues before my leg is gone.
Mm.
If you want to have any sort of relationship to the throne at all, do this and you'll be handsomely rewarded.
My lord, I must confess a wicked thought.
Ah, Clevis, you are full of confessions today.
I think that my path to the throne is not through appeasing your wishes or changing who I am. My path is through my way. Your penchant for violence. No, I believe that the kingdom's problems, the issue of our enemies, can be solved through meals. So I will not change for you, king. I will not change for any man, any woman, any child in this kingdom. But I will find my own path.
Well,
through the stomach.
Clevis, these emboldened words are causing me to see you in a new light. A light that, some might say is quite flattering on you. But from my perspective, I wish was darker. So, you will be sent to the dungeons.
It has been a long 10 years down in these dungeons. And yet my plan to take the throne has barely moved but an inch. At least my fellow prisoners believe in me. They believe in my plan to unite the kingdom via bread. But...
Well... Oh, sorry, Dad Clevis. I didn't mean to stop you.
Sorry.
It's me. It's Michael Caine the 8th from...
Yes, yes.
I'm stuck down here with you.
Michael Caine the 8th. Aye.
I just wanted to say, as I overheard you were standing pretty down there, it's not the ways that you fall down to the throne.
Yes.
It's the way that you climb back up into it.
Thank you, Michael Caine the 8th. I think today's the day. I've been rotting in this prison by decree of the king that no good, rotting leg Thaddeus...
That king is rubbish. I don't like him.
I believe that you and the other prisoners, we could rise up together. And through my vision of peace through food, we could take this castle for ourselves.
Clevis, I will follow you into any battle, into any hole, into any play, whether it be a good play or a bad play. I would go in there with you. I would follow you in, but I would not be the first. You'd have to go first because I'm kind of a chicken.
Hey, what's going on in there?
Don't mind
us. You woke me up from my nap.
Oh, we're so sorry, Greg.
We're so sorry, Greg. We were just talking Greg, about how much we loved the last meal you made.
It was so great. Greg, it was... It really just tickled my palate in all the right
ways. Is that right?
It sure is. It really, you know, it reminded me of my mum's cooking back home.
Well, then your mum must be an idiot because I'm the worst cook in the castle. Thank you, Michael Cocaine.
Classic Greg. So funny. So full of life.
Psst. Psst. Hey, Michael. Draw your spoon. I've drunk mine.
Clevis, I've got mine, but it's actually a spook. I hope that's okay.
That's all right. Let's get Greg.
Okay. Shank him. Do shank it. Him in the left leg. I'll shank him in the right.
Let's do it.
Oh, not my right leg. And my left leg as well. Oh, I'm bleeding.
Do you see that, Greg?
Yeah. I'm bleeding.
You're bleeding on the floor. And
Why?
Now you have fallen down. And you can't get up.
No.
The way that we flanned it, left and right.
If only I could send some alert about my life that it's in trouble.
We'll be sure to tell people after our and he's expired, just as we flanned. Clevis, lead the way. I'm following you.
Wait. Markle, I must preface that I did not plan to take this kingdom through violence. But he did have to die.
Clevis, you are the most enigmatic leader that I could have ever hoped to follow. So I'll let this one slide and we'll just chalk it up to he had bad knees and he fell.
Thank you for understanding. Sometimes, don't tell Thaddeus this, but sometimes a little violence is necessary to establish peace.
A drop of violence in the lake of danger is just no one will even notice, and that's the truth.
You're so wise, Michael. All right,
following you up the stairs.
Let's head up to the castle. Bless the gods. Of course, it's a royal ball this evening.
Hear ye, hear ye! Hear ye, hear ye!
I'm listening.
Clevis have returned from the dungeons of the castle.
He sure has, don't mind his smell.
Are you tired of the rule of the reign of the tyrant, violent king Thaddeus?
Yeah. Hey, I know, I sure am.
Michael, they're not listening.
I think it's because the bass in the cello is a bit loud. It's actually quite nice. If you know, it's, I can't help but tip my feet to it.
Michael,
so
go kill the cellist, please, with that spork. Do it.
Just one more drop of violence in the lake of danger.
A small drop is a small price to pay.
Okay.
I love playing the cello. Oh!
I'm so sorry.
Oh, I'll never play the cello again.
I know I don't know you. I'm so sorry.
Now you're listening to me, Clevis.
Oh, Clevis, is that you?
Thaddeus, Tyrant King.
Now it seems you've escaped from my dungeon. How on earth did you manage that? Is Greg doing all right down there?
Greg paid the price he had to pay for the revolution.
Well, Greg was known for hunting endangered animals, so you've actually done me a favor. He was going to be set in the dungeon with you. You've done my violence for me.
No! Curses!
Ah.
Such blasphemy from thy lips. As always, King Thaddeus, you once told me that I must change who I am as a person
in order to be close to the throne.
Aye.
But listen to this, people.
Oh, listen to this, everyone. He's got speeches and things to say.
As I hold this spoon in my hand, this kingdom that we live in has not been good for any of us. It's been constant time of war, constant struggle, famine, disease. But I want to promise you something. Nay, I want to offer you something. Food. A shared table with both us and thine enemies. And peace. Peace through bread. Peace through meat. Peace through your mother's breakfast. Something different. What say you to that?
Well, I for one think that it sounds great, everyone. I think that we should listen and, you know, bite into food and not each other. Oh, Michael Caine. Classic him, just always being so positive and uplifting.
He's my greatest friend.
Well, he's like your you only friend, because as you see, everyone else in this party is fat, well-fed, plump, as it were.
Yes, sorry to speak up. I'm a supporter of King Thaddeus. His policy's been great for my horse breeding business. Look, what's his name, Thaddeus?
It is Cleavis. It's hard to even remember because he's so forgettable. Cleavis, it's like cleavage, but with is instead of it.
Oh, King Thaddeus, you're hilarious. Well, the point is this. The Horsing Guild. King Thaddeus, you have our support. Diplomacy through food.
I appreciate
frankly,
it.
Sounds stupid.
Yes, and Demetricles, what? I always appreciate your support. I think that young Cleavis here has gotten a bit ahead of himself. And
no,
he appears to have soiled his own trousers.
Because of my passion.
Oh.
My passion for peace. Don't you people understand that the way we've been doing things isn't right?
I stepped on someone's toe the other day, and I felt really bad about it.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Remorse. Guilt. Anyone else feel bad about something they've done?
I farted, and I blamed it on my wife, and she had to walk off the plank of the ship because of that, and...
That's really good.
You know, it actually kind of worked out for me. I'm now a bachelor, so thanks for if anyone out there is looking.
It seems that the room is divided, Cleavis. You've roused some of my subservience.
Yes, we've all felt bad about doing something at some point. And what I'm trying to get us to realize is that we've been doing bad a long time.
But Cleavis, you forget. As such a good, altruistic man as yourself, you might have forgotten how good it feels to be bad.
Well,
what was the last bad thing that you did that felt good, Cleavis? Pray tell.
I killed Greg.
I knew it. I knew you killed Greg. And how did that feel to watch the life leave his eyes?
It felt good, Thaddeus. Said he stood in my way. He stood in the way of my path to the throne.
Exactly. And now, Cleavis, I shall set you free. But not free to be a man of this here kingdom. You see, you can take your food-based kingdom and you can try and live out your ways of peace and wrestle with your own inner demons, but eventually you will come back. You'll come back and you'll stand outside my gate to rue the day that I cast you away because I was right. Because I knew that violence is always the answer. Violence is the only answer. So go. Raise your kingdom. Raise your keep. Prepare your munitions. Sow your seed. Start your family. Build a business. Go ahead and take out life insurance policies on people. Do whatever it is that you need to do, but know that your day will come when you sit here in front of me and weep.
Thaddeus, it has become clear to me that we can not both exist in the same kingdom.
Nay.
You're right, I must take my visions elsewhere.
Take those eyes and look not at me, but look into thine own heart, and then see me there, giving you the middle finger.
Yes, and, well, frankly, I think if there's one thing I've learned from this is that sometimes a little bit of violence is necessary to get the job done.
'Tis but a drop of violence in the large, vast ocean of danger.
Well said, friend.
I believe it was me that said that first, actually.
Nobody asked you, Michael Caine.
Michael Caine, will you join me? Will you be my right-hand man?
Well, you know, actually, I've grown to quite like the dungeon, so I think I'll go back and hang out with Greg's corpse.
Okay, well...
You're on your own.
I'm not going to look into that, but whatever makes you happy, friend.
Good luck. Good luck, Clavis.
So I'll take my horse. Thank you, horse master. I appreciate the expense.
Yes, yes, Demetricles will give you a
yes,
horse.
Thank you for taking a horse. That's one of our shitty ones.
I'm feeling rather benevolent as it is, you know, my royal ball and all. You picked the right day to make your leave, Clavis.
Thaddeus.
Aye.
There's just one thing I must do before I go.
Aye.
Give me that leg.
Clavis, I will give you mine leg, but just I need you to... Okay, take your spoon out of the air. That's not going to do nearly as much damage as you think
okay,
it will
okay,
be.
I'll
give
it away.
You the leg. I will give you the leg.
Okay.
But this leg must sit upon thine wall for 9 days, or else be cursed.
Aye.
Go raise thy kingdom. Fight me later, after a few seasons.
And may we meet again on the battlefield.
May we.
Well, Clavis, it certainly took you long enough to raise your family. Oh, well, shall I say, that leg you gave me, it caused an infection in my new kingdom.
That was the plan the whole time.
And I learned that if you try and give people free food, they'll just steal from you.
They'll just steal it all. I knew it. I gave you that diseased leg and knew that your kindness and benevolence would be your downfall. But I honestly thought it would have taken you a lot less time. Should we even fight now? I've got Mahjong in 30 minutes.
Oh, dear. Well, frankly, I've brought my army. It's just me.
I thought that more would come from the horn. But hey, like, that was impressive lung work from you there, Clavis. Yes.
Well, in my time building my kingdom, I've learned this. People will take advantage of you.
Yeah.
I never found love.
It doesn't exist.
Because I broke up with my wife, and then I never found a man. So it just... That was bad choice.
It's, you know, Clavis, I think love is all a ruse.
Yes.
And honestly, this whole kingdom business, what do I have to show for it? I killed so many people.
Well...
And it felt good the whole time, so I guess, yeah, fuck it, I had a pretty good life.
You did?
Yeah.
Would you be willing to kill one more?
I'm more than willing, but it's more that my belief in my ability to do so isn't quite there. It's going to have to be a very easy way.
Okay. Well, I think of it like this. If you kill me,
okay,
one last chapter to your legacy. And the history books will write it as this. Thaddeus killed his greatest rival, Clavis.
Oh, well, I would say that... It would say that, but I have many other rivals, Clavis. You're like number 7.
Please. Please, come on.
Okay, well...
I need this.
Hang on.
Look, everything else I've done is failed.
Okay, I'm getting to it. Let me get me crossbow.
If you kill me, it might be my only way to gain any sort of legacy.
Well, sure, it's I'll use a steel crossbow bolt.
Absolutely.
But they take a little bit longer to load than other bolts do.
I've got nothing but time left.
Are you sure?
Friend.
Okay, it's a crank system. It's, oh, boy, the arthritis. Oh, Cleavis. Cleavis, I...
Let me help you with that.
Wait, what was I doing again?
Loading the bolt in the crossbow.
Yeah, the bolt in the crossbow, right?
To shoot me.
Okay.
For your legacy.
It's loaded. I have to rest it on the chair here, Cleavis.
That's all right.
I can't support it with my own arms. It's... Any final words?
I'm sorry. Dunk.
I forgive you.
Sorry. No, I meant... I'm sorry for not revolting sooner.
Oh, hell. Don't worry. Take your time dying. It's...
Sorry. I'm sorry for not revolting sooner. Oh. I would have been a way better king than he...
I guess we'll never... I guess we'll never know.
And I swear, I think the common people would have liked me more if they had just given me a chance at the ballot.
Sounds like one of all of the rest, the other six, these rivals. Every single one of them just stupider than the last. Time to go take my Metamucil.
Fun stuff.
Well, that was absolutely insane.
I don't know how to do old British.
I know. I was like, we're just old. We are not the same dude.
Well, when you get older, you just become American, I think.
Yeah. That's. Right? I think that you lose the accent. It's because you realize it was a facade the whole time. That British accents aren't real.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's how it goes. All right. Well, Gavin. Thank you so much for playing Royal Rivalry with me.
Of course. That was so much fun. I love those characters.
I was like, man, I got to clear up my philosophy. I was like, I am a gay man trapped in medieval times who wants to make peace through food. And I was like, I got to, boy.
Who immediately starts by killing people.
Yeah. And who immediately betrays his own values. That's, I was trying to, you know, stand up for the little guy, but it got so messy. Yeah, well, thank you so much for playing.
Of course.
Before we conclude tonight's episode, any last words you want to leave us with?
Oh, my goodness. It's been an absolute pleasure being here, Michael. I love hanging out with you and, you know, just getting to talk about improv. You know, this in itself is a way to grow. And the last words to leave everybody with is just keep on growing. Give yourself that space. Keep on keeping at it.
Keep on keeping on. Keep on growing. And find a surf spot in LA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But go early.
And go early. With that said, thank you so much to faculty member Gavin Constanza for joining us on Improv for the Podcast. We're going to be taking a break after this episode, but we'll be back in maybe a little over a month. But until then, we'll see you next time. Improv for the Podcast was created by Matt Moore and Michael Lee Evans. Edited and produced by Michael Lee Evans. And finally, presented by Improv for the People. Interested in more IFTP? You can visit us at improvforthepeople.com or on our socials, such as Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, and YouTube. Remember, new episodes are released weekly. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.